You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Scripture reading will be the same text we had last week, and the heart of the matter is in Genesis 9, verses 25 through 27. Thursday of this week, the 24th, I believe it is the Passover. And if you have a Jewish friend, we have a few tracts out there pointed toward the Jewish people. You might drop a little note and put one of those tracts in it to them, just to let them know that we are concerned about them. And, of course, they are dealing with a shadow, which, as is written in Corinthians, Christ is our Passover. The Passover that they celebrate is to remember that they were delivered from bondage and from a death angel. The symbolicness of it is that Christ had not just delivered us from the bondage of a country, but from the bondage of sin, because he didn't cover it up as the Passover does, rather the atonement does, but he took it away. I love that song that we just sang a while ago. And if you're in this room, if you've come to the fountain drawn from Emmanuel's blood and have passed under it, the Christ is your Passover. And he didn't just pass over your sin, he took it away. Might say, too, if you send a tract or a little note to your Jewish friend, pray for him. You see, the Jewish people have a veil over their eyes. It's not there by accident. It's put there by God. And if anything we owe them is their faithfulness as keepers of the oracles of God. Now, God has transferred that into our hands today. We are supposed to be the keepers. And if we are the true keepers of the oracles of God, the very least we can do is to remember from whence that oracle came and through who. I know that in these lessons that we're going to be looking at here concerning the blessings and cursings, that prejudice is in all of us, despite the brainwashing that we're not to be prejudiced. That's like tucking a dog to not chase cat. But you know, it doesn't work that way. And so we have an obligation to them, however you may feel, some particular one you may not even like. But nevertheless, as a Christian, you have a double obligation. And so remember that, particularly this week. Should do it all the time, but I mean, this is a time that they would appreciate hearing from you. And those tracts are for you out there. I think we've got three different ones out there. So think about that and pray about it. We look to you for grace now in a very special way, that we may make the word clear as the Holy Spirit energizes to these ends. I want to thank you for this privilege, however. We look to you now for your settling influence in our heart and our mind, so that our words will go forth in the might and the power of your Spirit, and that we will have at least a framed picture of the fiat decision of God concerning these very serious matters who, in the day in which we live, that create so much disturbances. Now may the Holy Spirit do abundantly above what we've thought about because of our need, and because of the honor of your word, we want to thank you for this. As you cleanse us and sanctify us to these ends, that nothing hinder, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we saw that, the last 2 weeks rather, we've seen that God made a perpetual covenant with the human race concerning human government. And at the same time, he made known in germ form 3 main divisions from among the sons of Adam. There were no races at that particular time when those divisions were made. As a result of that, we have in the 10th chapter the division of the nations as they came into existence after the flood. And if you read the 10th chapter, you'll find that the Japhetic people of which most of us are here, there are 14 different strains that we have named in different races today, like English, German, so on. And Europe is the home of the Vedic people. Well, we're talking about germ truths now, and of course, after all these thousands of years, you can't tell who from what anymore, but nevertheless, these are the foundations and the fountain. There are, amongst the Shemites, or Semitic people, as they're known today, some 26 different strains and nations, such as the Jew, such as the Arab, such as the India, such as China, Japan. These are all Semitic people in their origin. And then we have the Hamitic people, of which Canaan came, his son, is Africa. And this is clear cut. In fact, just a few years ago, a man named Albright, who is the most authoritative man in the field of archaeology that's alive today, when the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered and they could not date them, he was the one who gave the final say as to how, and was accepted by the whole archaeological world. And he, commenting on this 10th chapter, he said, of all the histories that have been written about the different nations, that this foundation truth in the 10th chapter, which enumerates their names, is the most perfect record that's ever been written, even today. And the archaeologists back it up all the way. Nobody questions it, in spite of all the propaganda we hear. The best record is in the 10th chapter of where we all came from. And you can't improve on it. You can expound on it, but you can't improve on it. So we have a good record here. In spite of this, men are still arguing about the thing. But this was not done in the corner. It was by the fight of God. We looked at that last week just for a minute, but I guess we better check it again just so that somebody might see it. The 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy and verse 8. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 8. When the Most High divided the nations their inheritance, he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. So that Israel is the key to whatever inheritance any nation has as to land and calling and care. And Israel is a hub. They are the pattern. It's one of the reasons why God set Israel aside. They were to be a pattern that people could, and so they could understand many of the workings of God. Their mistake was they thought they were a pet, and they weren't a pet at all. And this has always created the problem. If you're a pet, you know, thinks you should get things better than somebody else. And that's not true. Whatever glory he gave them was that the nations might follow the same patterns and get the glory along with them. But they didn't follow. And they didn't carry out their calling. Kind of like the body of Christ, which we belong to. We have a calling too, and we've failed just like they failed. That's the history of man. And while we're on this, all the different ages that have passed and all the dispensations that have come up to this point in time, if you notice, every one of them closes with failure and judgment. Now, God has been doing this for ever since man was created. He's leaving a record for men to see. This is why we have so many different administrations throughout history that change the way in which God deals with men. Not about the plan of salvation, but his actually care and direction for them. And what history will reveal is this. It makes no difference what kind of administration that God sets up for man. He cannot consist without Christ. Or it doesn't matter whether it's a Satan, demon, fallen angel, or human being. The records will be clear how that what should have been and what wasn't were there for man to see, so that when time is no more, it would be silly for any man to go back and try on his own self without Christ. Be like a man who, with all his faculties, his health, everything going his way, and just walk down here and get up on the first National Bank and jump off and commit suicide. Now, I realize people commit suicide, but they haven't got it all together when they do. So that's what this is all about. Now, we're not going to repeat what we did last week, except to say that the Hamadic Canaan was chosen to carry the burden of the curse on the black people. You notice there's no blessing for Ham at all. And the curse fell on his youngest son. And instead of cursing Ham himself, he dealt with his son. And a lad is usually the apple of his father's eye. And that has never changed. Twice over, Hamadic people have tried to break that curse in their own rebellion. One was the Tower of Babel, and that failed. The other one was Hannibal, and the city that was the base of Hannibal was Carthage. And was a great man, probably the most brilliant man that the Hamadic race ever produced as far as war was concerned. He almost destroyed the Roman Empire. But a man named Fabian, who was a pretty shrewd fella, found a way to defeat Hannibal. Today we have in England another clever society called the Fabian Society. Who do you think they got that from? General Fabian. Well, we're not going to get off on that. But in any case, nomadic people are not set in concrete, though. They can't break this curse. They can. But it has to be done God's way. We gave one illustration of that last week. And in this day and age, turn to Ephesians just a minute, chapter 2, so that today our Christian has a way out. And of course in the past it was because they were believers too. That was their way out. But in Ephesians 2 in verse 14 and 15, Christ is our peace. We have made both one, Jew or Gentile, and that's all God sees it now, and broken down the middle wall of partition, so that the things that held fast by the fight of God prior to the mystery have now been set aside in Christ. Hence it is written in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11, there's no such thing as a Greek or a Jew or a barbarian or Scythian, a bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Now, if a person honestly desires to please God and do away with the things that divide as a result of that fight act of God, then the solution is in the mystery itself. And that's obedience to it, where there is no such thing. Now, does not change the facts. The facts are still here. To the man outside of Christ, and men have been trying to break down these walls of separation for centuries, and they always end in failure, because only God himself can break his own fight, and he can do that in the dispensation of grace. This is their opportunity. But men are going about seeking their own way to destroy it through human laws. And when you make laws that are contrary to the fight of God, they're not going to solve a problem, they're going to create another problem. They always have and they always will. But man today, you know, is very successful. In fact, the matter is, there's more wealth in this world to show that we are successful than there ever has been in the history of man. We've got more smarts. We can fly to the moon. But we cannot solve the problems that were set there by the fight of God. And the only way you can do that is to submit to God's way and put it in his hands. That's why that verse in Colossians 3:11 says, not only is there no such thing as a Greek or a Jew or a barbarian, a Scythian, a bond, or free, but what? Christ is all. There's no solution. It's all in him. And not you could take any subject matter under the sun today. That's the answer. I remember some years back, the Baptists held the big rally, and they had on the back of their cars, Christ is the answer. The only problem of it is they didn't present the question. But he is the answer. No question about that. He is the answer. It doesn't matter what problem you got. Think about that a minute. I don't care what. There's no problem under the sun that's not a theological problem. And I hate to keep beating this old dead horse, but every day Donahue's on the television, and they got experts up there solving the problems, but I've yet to hear a solution. I've heard a lot of opinions, but no solutions. See? Never is. You listen to that program when you get through. You know any more than you started. In fact, you know a lot less because they've muddied the waters up. That's the problem we face. And here is a very basic thing, not something to be dodged, but to realize what it is. Nomadic people without Christ will always be a servant of servants. Now, we think that slavery is awful. Humanly speaking, it is. But in the New Testament and in the Pauline's mystery letters, there's a personal letter written to a man at Colossae who was a slave owner. Just one chapter. I mean, you go home and read this. And he had a slave that ran away. You know, in those days, if a slave ran away, his master, if he caught him, he'd have him killed. So it was not everyday common practice. But anyhow, this slave wound up in Rome, and Paul led him to the Lord. And Paul sent him back to his owner with a letter. In times past, he said, this man, Onesimus, has been a disturbing factor in your life and probably has cost you a lot of money. But I want you to receive him not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And then he commends Philemon, he was writing to. He said, I know that you will do above and beyond what I ask. And if you feel that doesn't settle the question, let me know. I'll pay for whatever the losses were. So that's the attitude and the only way that the differences of our opinions about races and people can ever be settled, because Christ is all and in all. All these problems are solved in that answer. But just historically now, to trace these things, he was to be a servant of servants. That's the lowliest kind. We spent most of last week dealing with the Hamitic people. Now we move to verse 26. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. The word Shem, as in the case of Canaan, Canaan means a servant of servants, that's what it means. And in the case of Shem, it means the name in the place of honor. And beginning with Abraham, which is just a few years after this, any honor before God, any blessing that was going to come, whose name was it that made that possible? The man that God selected, Abraham and his seeds. Can you imagine the reaction to those nations that understood this and did not know the God of Abraham? We don't want anything to do with that Jehovah God. We've got our own gods. One thing about the pagan world, they weren't as stupid as our intellects are today. They rejected Jehovah God as God, but they recognized that he was a God among the true children of Israel. See? Today, they deny God. This nation denies God. They won't let it even be his history be taught in the schools anymore. And the Bible's a myth. So the pagans were smarter than we are. They recognized that there was a God, Jehovah. See? And why? Because it had been proven to them over and over again. Every time they went against Jehovah God when Israel was obedient, they went back with a bloody nose. And it wasn't because of numbers or because of might. They had them outnumbered every way. And you have a greatest demonstration of that right now before your eyes. 4 million Jews over there, not even that many, but in Israel, that's 4 million people. About two-thirds of them were Jews. So, less than 3 million actual Jews there. And you got 700 million half-brothers through Ishmael, Arabs, to surround them. It's kind of a one-sided battle. But you know, every time they've tried to do well with them, they get their nose bloodied. And God's been kind to them. They still haven't turned to God. But you know, the showdown's coming. And they're going to be brought to the end of their tether. God's been protecting him, but he's going to remove that hedge and give an opportunity to call on him. And if I understand it right, they're going to call him too. And you know what? They're going to get a prophet back. It's no compromise whatsoever. You deal with him just like he dealt with Ahab. First thing that Ahab said to Elijah, "Well, have you come back to give me more trouble? You've been my enemy long enough." And he put the record straight. "I've not been your enemy. You've been the enemy of our people." And that's what Elijah will tell Israel. Straighten up. This is what's going to be. And you better get on the line. And happy I can report that they will respond. It won't last very long, because they've always been a stick-neck, hard-headed people. And they'll rebel, but it'll be the last rebellion they'll ever make. But nonetheless, you got a time coming. All you hear on the radio and television is doom and gloom. But I'm telling you something, and I believe this with all my heart, that your lifetime, you'll see Elijah will come and restore all things to Israel. And the fallout will be worldwide. It's going to be a short time of blessing and prosperity and health and everything you can think about. A short time, mind you. Because man's still a rebel. But nevertheless, it will be short. Because once again, Israel will make a covenant with the world powers. And Israel is to be a separate people. See? This will bring rebellion, will bring Christ back to this planet, and all the horror of the Revelation, the book of Revelation, will be lived out. That's, I think, 50, 60 years away. And the blessing will come first before the judgment. That's where we are. And these are the people that God bless. He's the only one that ever God gave a scripture to write. That nation has been the keepers of the earth of God. That's their blessing. And that they're to pass it on. Now, they never did that. They never went out and tried to sell the other nations on Jehovah. They separated themselves. They became a pet instead of a pattern. And obviously it failed. Five times in a period of 450 years under the judges, Israel had to be taken into captivity. And a man was raised up to rescue them. Some of you remember Gideon, Samson, so on. These were part of the judges. What happened when he rescued them? They went back and committed the same things. Then finally, after they had kings, God sent them away into captivity into Assyria, Babylon, and Nineveh. And they were there for 70 years. And God restored them back into the land again under the Roman rule and promised them the Messiah. And when the Messiah came, they graciously accommodated God and killed his son. I'm not being kind to them here because they don't need to be kind on that point. By the same token, we're all guilty of it too. But the lesser guilt is ours because there'd have been no Calvary without the Jew. But you see again, the marvelous character of God. God still blesses the nations through who? This rebel bunch. Always will, because that's his plan. The greatest tragedy of all history, the greatest triumph of Satan, was Calvary. Did it work out that way? Not at all. And through their bullheadedness and refusal to carry out the things of God, notice the next thing. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell where Israel ought to be dwelling. That tent means a dwelling place. They should be dwelling in the place of God's blessing. But who is? The Gentile now. And the Gentile is the keeper of the oracles of God. They've done a poor job of it, but nevertheless, that's our responsibility. Now, the word Japheth means enlarged. It's been the Japhetic nations who have gone forward to enlarge, enlighten. And you know that the United States would never be in existence if it hadn't been for who? Look at history. You'll see it worldwide. They have been the people, the great explorers, to go out. They've covered. Now I want you to see how even Paul was so interested in the Semitic people that when he was commissioned, when he went to Turkey, that's where it is today, Northern Asia, but he went there
twice over, God had to turn him around from the east. He was going east out of Turkey. Two different times, God interrupted him. He said, no, that's far enough. You're going to go this way. Till he brought him back to the west coast of Turkey. And there he met a man from Macedonia named Luke. He met him first in a vision and then in person. And Luke's message was, come over and help us. Paul started west then. The first city he preached in was Philippi. And from that day to this, everything's been moving how? West, 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 west. You see, had God not intervened, though, what do you think America would be today? Wherever that book goes, it creates what could be good. But man, his basic nature is to be what? Bad. And that's what happens, you see. That's why we're in the mess with all of the values we have in a physical way, material today. We still haven't learned that no nation can long stand. Even the people that he set aside to bless, they couldn't stand either. God is getting ready. You know, we're almost, if you look through history, and I just remind you of these things because you know them. When God begins to deal with Israel, it's always from periods of 40 years. And you know this is the 38th year since they've been recognized worldwide as a nation. Just two more years. I don't know what's going to happen in 1988, but I think I do. And anyway, it'll happen whether it happens in 88 or not. You better begin to think soberly about these things. They're not something that's up for discussion. Although the world ignores you, if it was something up for discussion, it's there. And the words couldn't be any plainer. The land of life promises Christ made. And John the Baptist was dead. No argument about what he is. And the Jews still taught that John, particularly the Jews that were believers, thought that John the Baptist fulfilled the prophecies concerning Elijah. So they asked him. The reason they asked the question, because Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses. And as he was coming down the mountain, they said, you know, the scribes keep talking about Elijah coming one of these days. Is there anything to that? He said, sure is. Truly, Elijah must come back and restore all things. Now, people can read that and argue that from now to then, but that's there. In fact, the matter is, our Lord will not come back until his enemies are made his footstool. And who's his enemy? Think about it. Or the world's his enemy, for that matter. But the real pattern of the enemy is who? The enemy. The enemy, that's the Jew. He always has been. If he had been obedient, we'd have had a different world. Kind of reminds me of the story of a meeting after Israel rejected in Acts 28. This is just a story now. It's not scripture, but it sure makes sense. Gabriel walked over to the Lord and he said, you know, your idea of blessing the world through the Jews has failed on every occasion. It's so obvious that it's utterly worthless to deal with them people anymore. They're stiff-necked, they're hard-headed, they just don't obey nothing. He said, we've got to have a new plan. He said, well, what would you suggest? The Lord turned to Gabriel and he said, you know, what you say is really logical, but we don't have any other plan. God, you won't see it through. But you see, in the interim, it's been the children of Japheth who've enlarged and gone out. They didn't do any better. They just enlarged, created more problems. But they've done that. That's why I say these are germ truths. You can always find an exception here or there, and like the Canaanite woman who removed herself from the curse when she acknowledged her place in God's calling. Like the slave that Paul sent back to his master in Colossae. He came out from underneath that curse too, because he was sent to a Christian man. Paul says, "I know you'll do abundantly what I over against what I ask." That's our place today. We don't make a specialty on any race, because there's nothing special about them. God created the divisions for a purpose. God, knowing the rebellion of man's heart, he wanted even the rebellious to leave some kind of design that would honor his purposes. Now, we can begin to deal with personal things. When you think, since the curse fell on Canaan and the black, what's the character of these people? What do you think about when you see a black man? That's the character. What do you think about when you see a Jew or a Semitic? What do you think about when you see a Japhetic? There's certain characteristic traits that can be used to honor God.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.